Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths. Each morning here on GCN, we strive to expose the deadly and the destructive myths that are associated with religion and politics. This program is devoted to what we hope is and expect to become the fastest growing segment of our society. To those of you like me who know that there's something troubling, even destructive, about religion, politics, media reporting, military invasions, and economic schemes. We've come to realize that these institutions are part of the problem. They are not the solution. We can't fix this problem by continuing to tweak our economy because we have so hamstrung it, so destroyed it, so emasculated it, there is no way to go back to what it once was. There is no way to pass legislation now that will unburden us from our government. We've built a monstrous killing machine in our military that, rather than keeping us free, is sinking us in a mountain of debt and guilt. You know, these are issues that Americans are beginning to grapple with. They're beginning to recognize in record numbers that there's something dreadfully wrong with their religion as well. Way too many lies. The acknowledgement that there could have been no Jesus. There's no J in Hebrew. There's no J in Greek. No J in Latin. That Christ could not be a last name. That he came in his Father's name, but they don't even know the Father's name. That Christmas and Easter are pagan holidays. That Sunday was the day the pagans went to worship their sun god. That God said he's one, and yet they hold to a trinity. The cross was a holy pagan symbol of Tammuz, of the symbol of the sun in all of these ancient religions. And yet, the lies are perpetuated by those claiming to be trustworthy. And so, gradually, a very large percentage of our nation and even the Western world have come to realize that we aren't going to find a solution by packing the state houses and political associations and parties with right-minded people, because there's no right-minded people to vote for. The solution has become individual. It's become familial. It is no longer national. So, as a result, instead of merely presenting the news and trying to explain how one political party or another or some moral or propagandist slogan would solve these issues, we're going to look behind the headlines. We're going to come to understand why these tragedies are besieging our world while predicting how these events will influence us if we don't stand up in great enough numbers to stop them. And that is why our second hour, we're going to engage God on his terms through evidence and reason, since his guidance regarding his covenant principles provide hope, the only reliable response in an exceedingly troubled world. We are currently considering Yahweh's testimony regarding Eden and how it depicts the covenant and precisely explains why God created the universe and what he is offering to you and to me. Ultimately, ladies and gentlemen, words wisely wielded provide the answer for everything that ails us. From economic ruin to terrorism, from religious myths to political hypocrisy. And if you would like to wield yours, our phone number, for those who would like to participate in this program, is 877-300-7645. One of the most interesting lies that has been foisted on the American people in quite some time is Benghazi. We're going to begin with a story on Benghazi. And I want to set this into a greater context. The President of the United States is an egregious liar. He is amongst the biggest hypocrites who have ever occupied that office, and it has been filled with a steady stream of hypocrites. He wanted the American people to believe that an extremist Christian was responsible for the deaths of the four Americans in Benghazi, working out of the State Department facility there. And so he blamed a Christian movie and then had all of his underlings, including himself, call the movie despicable. Innocence of Muslims, I believe, was the title of the clip. Now, the movie wasn't disgusting. The character it portrayed is disgusting. It portrayed Muhammad, showed Muhammad as a buffoon. He was. Showed him as a pedophile. He was. Showed him as a sexual pervert. He was a rapist. He was incestuous. He was. Showed him as murderous, as a terrorist. That's what preoccupied his time. He led 75 terrorist raids in the first 10 years of the Islamic era. He was as the movie depicted. Now, the movie was crude. It was very poorly made. The man that made the movie only wanted Muslims to recognize it is foolish to put one's trust in such a perverted individual, because it was Muslims believing the religion founded by this pervert that were killing Copt Christians in the tens of thousands. And so the President of the United States, hating anyone that does not ascribe to his blended religion of the New World Order, wanted extremists to be responsible, which he defined as the Christian who made the movie, for the Benghazi attacks, when in fact he knew that the perpetrator was Ansar Sharia. But he couldn't admit that, couldn't let the American people know that, even though that's what the State Department and the U.S. military and the CIA all collectively said while the attack was ongoing. Because all you have to do is answer this question, what does Ansar Sharia mean? And every claim that Obama has made regarding Islam is exposed as a lie, which means that American foreign policy and America's military policy are counterproductive and disingenuous, disastrous. Ansar Sharia means friends of Sharia. What is Sharia? It is law based upon Muhammad's words and deeds. So we do come full circle to the movie all over again, do we not? The movie predicted Muhammad as he is predicted in the Quran and Hadith, as a sexual pervert and murderous terrorist. And those who are trying to impose a civil code and religious code based upon this disgusting man's life killed our ambassador and three other Americans in Libya with weapons that Americans had foolishly supplied to the Mujahideen so that they could depose the secular government of Muammar Gaddafi. So America should have been horribly embarrassed. We provided weapons to fundamentalist Muslims acting as jihadists who hate Americans, and they used our weapons to kill our personnel. And the truth is that fundamentalist Islam was responsible. Everything that we stood for, this claim that we should help the rebels because they're freedom fighters wanting democracy when all we have created in Libya is a terrorist state. That realization, since it was the president, and of course his token, I just love a war, John McCain, that decided that we should expend American resources and weapons to support these jihadists. So rather than admit that they were wrong, admit that the whole war on terrorism is a lie, they lied. Now, there's more to the story than that. This is a report from Fox News. 2 weeks after the Obama administration announced charges against suspects in the Benghazi attack, a large portion of the U.S. team that hunted the suspects and trained the Libyans to capture or kill them is leaving Libya permanently. Special operations in the region, operators, I should say, in the region, tell Fox News that while Benghazi targets have been identified for months, the head of Ansar Sharia lives his life in public. Those who actually perpetrated the attack were so proud of what they did, they confessed to the crime, and they took cell phone videos of themselves. It wasn't hard to identify them. They took credit for what they did. But they say that while they've been identified, officials in Washington could never pull the trigger. Now, what that means is that they weren't there to capture these individuals that have claimed responsibility and bring them back for trial or take them to an international tribune for trial, knowing they can't be tried in Libya because that's now a terrorist state. They would be have schools named after them, Quranic schools in Libya. So we just killed them. That's what American justice has become. We think that you kill an American, we kill 100 times more of you, and that is moral. That's the new moral code of America. So, yeah, 4 Americans were killed. Let's kill 4,000 fundamentalist Muslims. So we can never pull the trigger, it says. In fact, one source insists that much of the information on the Benghazi suspects has been passed along to the White House after being vetted by the Department of Defense and the State Department. Vetted means, you know, if there's anything here that embarrasses our country, or we have our own angle, our own redactions, that we're going to apply them. And you can rest assured, based upon the WikiLeaks documents, we know for certain that the Department of Defense and the State Department lie. And they do it routinely. And they lie so often, they don't even know they're lying anymore. I mean, it's just part of the fabric of their DNA. At least one recommendation for direct action. Direct action means we go off and kill people in a foreign country. We don't bring them to justice. We just go off and kill them. Was given to President Obama as recently as August 7th. Yeah, he can't authorize the killing of such individuals, because if he does, it means that everything he said and did prior to the election was a complete and utter lie. He should be impeached. Meanwhile, months after video, photo, and voice documentation on the Benghazi suspects, see what Fox News has revealed to you here, and most Americans are unaware of this, that the Islamic terrorists are so convinced that what they're doing in the name of their religion and their God is good, that they actually videotape themselves perpetrating these crimes. They have photographed themselves, they have videoed themselves, and therefore, because the cell phones that they have used have voice recording capability, we can identify them by voice, by what they said, by what they did, by their own pictures. In this regard, it's a modern version of the Nazis, who celebrated their atrocities in this manner as well. Returning to the story of Benghazi, the last comment that this article highlighted is something that is worthy of our consideration. There is an attitude and a strategy that is common between the Nazis, and we have not seen since the Nazis, and today's Islamic jihadists. And that is that while perpetrating some of the most heinous acts ever undertaken by humankind, and that's by humankind, I may be being way too kind to Islamic jihadists here, that they photograph themselves doing these things. I mean, there's so many pictures of the Germans massacring in cold blood naked Jews, just taking them out in the field, stripping them, taking any possession that might have any value, and then having them dig a trench, and then lining them up next to the trench and letting them fall in one after another. Taking pictures of themselves doing it, proud of themselves. Well, how's that any different than today's Muslims, who do exactly the same thing? They are so warped by their religion. In the case, don't be mistaken here. Nazism is a religion. If you don't think it's a religion, read Mein Kampf. Hitler's very clear. Nazism is a religious movement, just as Islam. And just as is Nazism was equal parts religion and politics, so is Islam. And it is so caustic to one's soul that it causes those who are beguiled by it to not only perpetrate heinous acts, but to glorify in doing so. In the case of Muslims, screaming Allahu Akbar. Allah is greater than Yahweh, while flying planes into our buildings. This is the mindset, and we need to understand that this mindset is exactly the same mindset as we experienced with Nazi Germany. Now, no one would tolerate Nazis doing this today. So why do we tolerate and make excuses for Muslims doing this today? So meanwhile, months after video, photo, and voice documentation of the Benghazi suspects was first presented at high-level military leaders, and those videos are available online. I mean, the jihadists posted them. The State Department, ultimately, the White House, where the videos were presented, prison breaks, they say, around the country have eroded security. U.S. Special Forces have now been relegated to a villa, a stopover for the operators before they're shipped out of the country entirely. So, for months they've been presented, been on the web, so the White House and the State Department, Department of Defense have seen these videos of those who actually perpetrated the crimes, took credit for the crimes, and yet the team that we sent in there to identify them, to capture or to kill them, were now setting off to a villa because they can't even live in the base that we set up for them in this jihadist country. And what is happening in the jihadist country? Well, prison breaks every day, at least once a week. We put American special operations in harm's way, which is something that we do routinely, to develop a picture of these suspects and to seek justice instead of acting, we've stalled. We've just let it slip past, and it's becoming more and more difficult now that 1,200 prisoners are escaping every 2 weeks. And they're not escaping there. These are the jihadists that were murderous and savages during the so-called revolution. And because they're fellow jihadists, they're just here. Come on out. Celebrate the new country of jihad. It's already blowing up. Daily assassinations, bi-weekly prison escapes. We waited too long, says the one of the many operators that have now spoken to Fox News. The latest development raises questions about when the attackers will be brought to justice in the murder of Ambassador Chris Stevens and three other Americans last September. Brought to justice now is an interesting term. We don't mean brought to justice in the traditional sense, where a case is brought against individuals and they have an opportunity to rebut the case that is brought against them, and then a jury decides whether or not the evidence is compelling. No, we now view bringing to justice, and we have for a very long time, is killing more of them than they killed of us. Now, recall in World War II, where the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, and because we were asleep in the at the switch, they managed to kill 3,000 Americans. Mostly civilians. In fact, I mean, mostly military. In fact, America has lost about 1,000 non-military personnel during the whole of the war. So what did we go off and do? We sacrificed the lives of 416,000 American servicemen to avenge those deaths. Yes, so the moral of the story is you kill 3,000 Americans and then we'll help you kill 400,000 more. And we managed to kill about 1 million Japanese civilians and 2 million Japanese servicemen. Justice, indeed. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're covering the story out of Benghazi, trying to understand why this administration is so duplicitous, why the State Department and the Department of Defense are willing to put men into harm's way and then allow them to languish with no discernible mission. You know, it's, as we continue here, one of the things that Scott said during the last commercial break bears repeating live here on the year, which is that the suicide deaths of returning U.S. Veterans from Afghanistan and Iraq now exceed war casualties by a considerable margin. We're losing scores of Americans each month to suicide. Now, why would these men who have come back and are no longer in harm's way be killing themselves? Well, they all leave letters. And they leave letters of hellish torment, where they recognize that we sent our military into a lose-lose situation that was making a bad situation worse, and they knew it. They watched the people that we had pledged to provide democracy for and let little girls go to school rape those little girls. We saw them, the government, then throw the victims of rape, the little girls, in prison while not prosecuting the rapist. We saw them perform bachi ba, which is the military that we have equipped in Afghanistan. Once we drive the Taliban out of a community, we saw those that we were paying to perform a peacekeeping role, pick the prettiest young boy in a community and gang rape him day after day for weeks on end. We saw savages corrupted by Islam that were not only unappreciative for what we had done, but were hated us and were willing to kill us at the drop of a hat. Given the opportunity, that would be what their preference would be. And so they watched their buddies blown up, making a bad situation worse, and they had been drummed into their head that their country was great and that their military was great and that they were there protecting Americans' freedom, and wasn't this kumbaya? And it was the opposite. Their government had lied to them, and their military had lied to them. Their politicians on both sides of the aisle had committed murder. And so they took their lives. They couldn't deal with the fact that everything that they had been led to believe was a lie. They were haunted by that. And so the answer is, of course, mothers and fathers, don't let your sons and daughters go off and play military. And to show you how perverted the institution has become, women are more than 10 times more likely to be raped while serving in the U.S. military than they are in any civilian capacity. And then once they have been raped, the whole system will rape them over and over and over again. Just don't do it. If you're a young person, I don't care how bad the situation is in your community, don't give up your freedom and allow them to abuse you in this way. Don't go. And if you're an American that has been led to believe, because you're indoctrinated by this from all sides, to think that your military is providing your freedom when in fact they're being deployed to make bad situations worse, and what they're doing is actually suicidal, stop being patriotic. It's time to wake up. Well, of course, the Pentagon officials, prone to lie, have disputed what the operators have told Fox News regarding Benghazi. They say that those operators in question were not specifically tasked with finding the Libyan suspects responsible for the Benghazi attacks. These officials say that other forces out of Fort Bragg are tasked with that mission, and they're not leaving. The Pentagon officials also say that the trainers, which were authorized by Congress under part of the defense budget to facilitate training of the Libyans for counterterrorism, were not there to track the Benghazi suspects. They insist that congressional funding is very clear in this mission and that they're only there to train locals in counterterrorism. Now, by the way, the Pentagon official knows that that gig is a complete lie. The special forces base that they were operating out of has been confiscated by the leading jihadist in Libya. They're not training anybody. And that the training operation was just set up as one of the many military lies to create cover for what they were actually there to do. And so the military, as is normally the case, lies. They think that lying and covering up is actually saving lives, and so they actually think that it's their patriotic duty to lie, very much like Islam, where lies on behalf of the religion are considered noble and good. The special forces in the region counter the claims of the Pentagon and the State Department, and they say they're just playing with words, saying that those being pulled are in fact tasked with both training the Libyans and identifying those engaged in the Benghazi attacks. The training is a cover for our mission, providing information on the suspects directly to the U.S. military commanders and the U.S. State Department. They are there and trained to find, fix, and finish the job. Fox News reported earlier this year that American forces had identified suspects by the end of November of 2012. And again, this is not difficult. You know, you don't need the U.S. military, the CIA, Homeland Security, the FBI, Special Forces, or anyone else. With one finger on your Google button, you can see the videos that were posted by Ansar Sharia. Ansar Sharia took credit for the crime. The president lied. So anyway, they're saying, yes, back in November of 2012, we knew exactly who perpetrated the crime. And we reported their whereabouts to Roebuck last January, yet no action was taken. They returned again in January and identified the same suspects. They located them after being requested to do so by their military leaders. And in the months since, the operators in the region have just been sitting in de facto standby positions. Why would you risk lives to go do that? To make matters worse, the U.S. trainers have been sitting in their Libyan villa now for a number of months after the Libyan military leader, who is, I called a jihadist, but that is his occupation. He is a jihadist. He's also now the chief in charge of the Libyan military, playing with American weapons. He kicked the Americans out of the camp where they had been training the Libyan special forces. So I just said, thank you very much for the camp. Thank you very much for the weapons. Goodbye. Get out of here. Of course, he just confiscated large investments of U.S. taxpayer dollars. The maneuver by the Libyan chief of defense has left our guys high and dry, is what the operators have said. And the same chief has locked down Tripoli as well, saying, you're out of here. We appreciate the weapons. We appreciate the support in our jihadist campaign. We really appreciate you enabling us to make a jihadist state out of Libya and to become the weapons purveyor to jihadists worldwide. That was nice of you. Now get out of here. And if you don't get out of here, we'll just kill you. The sources say that U.S. leaders have now let the Libyan government occupy all of the special forces camps and in turn undermine the effort to train a legitimate force capable of countering al-Qaeda, which was the initial assignment before the September 11th attack in Benghazi. How can we be so stupid? I mean, that is the problem when you don't wield words wisely. When you convince the American people and the military that the enemy is al-Qaeda, because that's what the president is saying, when al-Qaeda has not been responsible for 99.9% of what we blame them for. And you create this myth that the problem isn't Islam, it's no an extremist view, and it's bin Ladenism, a special cult, that there's a big enemy out there called al-Qaeda. So what you do is you end up sacrificing lives and throwing money to solve a myth. Al-Qaeda is meaningless, has always been meaningless. And when you get right to the roots of it, it's an organization that America has more responsibility having created and empowered than any other nation. And what's also interesting, of course, is that the Libyans per capita supplied more jihadists to the Mujahideen that fought under the guise of both al-Qaeda and the Taliban in Afghanistan against the Russians than did any other country. And even after the U.S. invasion of that country, other than Pakistan, the number one country for jihadists was Libya. The same jihadist who we were tracking down and trying to kill in Afghanistan were the ones that we armed with advanced weapons to take out Muammar Gaddafi in Libya. They're the same jihadists that killed our ambassador and three other Americans. This is what happens when you don't understand who the enemy is and you lie as a routine part of your strategy. The men tell Fox News that their mission was to capture or kill the suspects in question, and they briefed the acting U.S. ambassador in Libya and the senior CIA representative in that country. The men were told, both Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and Undersecretary were briefed about their information and their ability to capture and kill those responsible. They lied. Still, they did not get approval from the Department of Defense or the White House. They didn't get approval from the State Department either. Some of the individuals report seeing former commanders. General Carter Ham tell former Libya chief of mission Lawrence Pope that he could easily submit a plan to kill or capture the suspects, but, quote, politics and fallout keep us from acting. To do such an operation, we would have to have chief of mission and state approval. We didn't get it. They have simply sat on all of this. Now, I don't think that the answer is ever to kill more of them than they killed of us. And I know that is America's idea of justice, that it was worth sacrificing 10,000 or more American lives, squandering $6 trillion of our children's treasure to kill bin Laden so that he could be brought to justice. But I'm telling you, that is immoral. It is unbelievably stupid. And that is what we're trying to do here. There is no way to win either way when you act that way. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I have just three quick comments here about the situation in Libya. This Fox News article continues with, meanwhile, some of the same suspects in the Benghazi attack are continuing to help the Muslim Brotherhood in eastern Libya. And they are directly assigned with the militant group Ansar al-Sharia, which has already begun operations to undermine the fledgling Libyan government. Now, the Libyan government now is an alliance of various Mujahideen groups, jihadists. And so to give it structure, the Muslim Brotherhood is the entity that is in the play. And there is considerable evidence that the Muslim Brotherhood was responsible for coordinating the Ansar Sharia attack on the American facility in Benghazi for the express purpose of getting America out of the way. Because America is trying to prop up this coalition of jihadists when the Muslim Brotherhood is poised to take over that country. Well, with that thought, I'd like to go to Nick, who is calling in from Wisconsin. Hello, Nick. How are you today?
I'm good. How about you?
Oh, wonderful. I understand you have a question about Yah.
Yeah. What you were saying is that Yah says that on my question, where did he come from, it answers as, I were, I am, and I always will be.
Correct. Yeah, his name, when he confronted, or not confronted, but introduced himself to Moshe at the top of the mountain with the great blaze up there, he introduced himself because Moshe said, okay, look, first of all, the last thing I want to do is have to go and go back to Egypt. I wanted there for committing an act of murder. I thought I was doing the right thing, but they won't see it that way. And so the last thing I want to do at 80 years old is go back to Egypt. And besides that, I'm a stutterer, so I'm not really the right person for you to engage in this way. And he said, but let's just say that I accept this and I go. Who should I tell the children of Israel that is sending me? And the first thing God said, tell them that I am who I am. And it was Ihaya, Asher Ihaya. So it in Hebrew would mean I was, I am, and I will be who I was, who I am, who I will be.
This is answer to question, to a different question, and I did not ask who is Yahweh. I asked where did he come from.
Yeah, that's his answer. That answer is that my name and my identity is based on the Hebrew verb haya, which means always exists. Was, is, and will be. That's actually what I gave you is the answer that Yahweh gave us.
Most of Torah teachings are making sense more and more to me. However, this one, I have my own version, if you would be okay with. I want to give my version of where did the Yahweh come from.
Okay. His is really the only one that should matter to any of us, and his answer is, I always was. I always will be. I simply am. He identifies himself, Nick, as light. He says that if you want to understand my nature, the best thing to look at is light. And light is exactly the same thing. Light always exists. Time, simply all of time exists simultaneously on a photon of light. And that's basically what he's saying about himself.
Well, I guess I wouldn't, you know, if you don't want to.
Nick, I really, I mean, the best way I guess I can answer this is that I have come to enjoy your contribution to the program, and I am glad that you are a listener. We began this about a year ago. You were one of the very first callers to the program, and at the time, you called trying to understand Muhammad's act of pedophilia, if you recall. And since then, there's been scores of calls, and all of them have been positive, and this one is as well. Now, the one thing that I'm not prone to do. Is to use this program to have opinions about God shared, because there's just so few forums that what God says about Himself is shared. So, if you would be subject to rebuttal, I'll be.
I'm sorry, put you in the position. Maybe I'll just go to one of them forums and express my opinion there.
Okay, you know, there's a forum on the Yada Ya site. So if you go to yadaya.com, so yadaya.com, and you click up on the right-hand corner, there's a forum. It's free, and it's totally anonymous. And your nature of asking honest questions, really trying to seek answers, would be welcome there. Promoting myths is not, but seeking answers is absolutely welcome there. And
thank you for taking my call.
Always love to hear from you, Nick.